Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Welcome to TNJ Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are excited about what we have going on this evening, and we are excited that you took the time out of your schedule to join us. It's your main man, T. Foster, joined by my brother, Jay Wells, and we have a wonderful topic for you all tonight, and hopefully you'll really enjoy it. And we're going to be talking about, do black lives really matter? There's been a lot of speculation and talk in the media lately. You know, it's a big-time catchphrase right now that people of all ethnicities are rallying around. And, you know, we wanted to jump off into that and figure out, you know, from you all, do black lives really matter? But as you know, TNJ Radio is solution-based radio. So come with the heat, and not only come with that, but we need solutions. And that's one of the main things that we're going to talk about. We're going to, you know, go through it, but we want to hear solutions. Do black lives matter? And if they do, that's one thing. And if not, then what's our solution towards making our lives more meaningful in our own eyes? And that's really what it's all about. If you want to call in, give us a call, 347-324-5360. 347-324-5360. And I really want to start this off by talking about dog whistle politics, which play right into Black Lives Mattering. Because you listen to folks like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, all of those type of people, and they use certain key phrases and things of that nature that lead their constituency, which is predominantly white folks, to have this continued built-up hatred and or animosity towards people of color. And they use words that trigger certain thoughts out of their people. And I wonder if that's one of the main things that has contributed to the treatment of black folks over the years. Down throughout the years, it's something that former presidents used to rally the racist base and to make things really funky without necessarily saying that, you know, these people aren't important. And we can harken back to Ronald Reagan when he talked about the welfare queen and riding through town in her big fat Cadillac and things of that nature. And so, you know, I just want to know, is that something that we really think plays a part in this as well? And with that being said, I want to bring in my main man, Jay Wells, to join the conversation. What's good, my brother?
What's going on, brother? Good afternoon, everyone. And yeah, just piggybacking that, man, you think about the coded racism and the things that people put into the atmosphere. As like we always talk about, like the term thug or the big black guy. Why does every black guy have to be a big black guy? It's like you think about the big black guy. You think about Darren Wilson and Mike Brown. Darren Wilson is 6'4". And he made it seem as if he was being intimidated by another man. And this guy, Mike Brown, he's 17. He's not a small guy, but dude, you're 6'4". It's like, so there's no way they create this atmosphere where they naturally fear us. And that's one of those things that I have zero tolerance for when it comes to like coded racism.
Absolutely. And one of the main things that I really want to talk about and get your input in, and, you know, if all you out there listening, you want to call and join the conversation, 347-324-5360. And what does it mean to matter? And that's such a key thing in this instance, because it's easy to start yelling out Black Lives Matter and things of that nature. But as I thought about this topic and as I watched the things play out in the media, the main thing that comes to my mind is, what does it mean to matter? You know, what does that consist of? And most importantly, who does it consist of? Because does mattering mean being important to black folks? Does it, you know, if you matter, in air quotes, does that mean that you're important to all people? Or, you know, does that mean that you're important to white people? Because when you look at it, you know, this really is a rallying cry to, you know, get white folks to respect our lives and our humanity. And so when you say Black Lives Matter, what does matter mean in your opinion, Wells? And more importantly, when people are yelling out Black Lives Matter, who are they talking to?
Personally, I'm the type of person I want to focus on us, because when we start getting to the point where we're trying to appease another audience or worrying about if white people are going to appreciate us, that's the stuff that I don't care about. I care mostly about black people and how we feel about ourselves. And for me, when I think about our lives mattering, I go back to it's pretty much the founding of America. This country was built on the backbones of our ancestors. Everything that you see, from the railroad system, the train systems, the local subway system, the agriculture system in America, the steel industry, those were built on the backbones of your ancestors that were underpaid and never compensated. So
right.
I really believe those are the people, that's why it matters. And it should matter to us, because we have to take that step out and live for the people that planted the seeds for us and the people that allow us to have the things that we are able to have. But the freedoms, the limited freedoms that we do have, we need to live for the people that planted that seed for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because, you know, to be significant and to matter is always in the eye of the beholder. And so whatever we determine as a people that means, you know, I believe that that's what's going to determine our fate ultimately, because we can, and, you know, we've had this conversation off air wells where we talk about, you know, how you can always kind of go to white folks and continuously beat on the door and tell them that you're important, you know, we matter. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's internal, you know, where we have to start looking at each other like we matter, where when I look at you as my brother, I have to see the beauty in you. I have to see love and respect in you. I have to see myself in you. And if I feel like I matter, then that will ultimately make me feel like you matter and that you're important and that your life is significant and worth, you know, living. And that would cause me to not be violent towards you or whatever the case may be. But it's one of those things where, you know, I keep, as I look back over it, it's really, to me, one of those internal things, because we can ask them all day, as we've been doing throughout civilization, hey, look at us over here. We're important. We're somebody. You know, respect us. But, you know, a million years later, so to speak, nothing has ultimately changed, and we're still fighting over the same issues. And so at what point do we say, okay, forget what they're talking about over there. We need to just really focus on what we need to be doing.
And that goes into something that, again, we've talked about this before, and something that I truly believe is that the key to social change is through economics. Economics are the key. And we talk about this guy on the 101, but Dr. Claude Anderson, something he always emphasizes is group economics.
Right.
And that's something that we need to focus on. Like, if you think about it, black Americans, $1.4 trillion per year. $1.4 trillion per year. And that's, doing the math on it, it's approximately $3.8 billion each day. So if we were to actually focus on group economics and focus on using those funds towards businesses within our community and actually recycling our funds within each other, that's going to give us the platform to kind of build it's just going to elevate our community on its own. As you can see, you go to many, especially like your large cities, you find a Chinatown. You find places where there's nothing but Polish people, things of that nature, because they spend their money within each other. They support their own businesses. That's something that we can't be ashamed to do. And at the same time, black business owners, we got to realign ourselves a little bit too. You know, we all can't sell T-shirts. We all can't sell body butter. You know what I mean?
Right.
We all have to find businesses that are adjacent to the needs of the community. You know what I mean?
You don't want that shea butter?
I'm okay, man. I think I'm all right. We gotta find ways to kind of realign the products that we offer, make them available to people, to the needs of our people. It's like, another thing Claude Anderson always talks about, like, he made a reference to, like, the hair industry. Black women spend more money on hair products than any other demographic. But you know who dominates that demographic financially? Asians. You know, it's like when you think about that's something that we're really missing out on. And if we were able to kind of refocus our dollars, and I know it's hard. You're not going to walk around and just find black-owned grocery stores everywhere and things of that nature. But if we get to the point where that's a focus, that's something that we emphasize, that would really help as far as creating a situation where our lives are mattering to everyone. Because at the end of the day, everyone wants the black dollars. And if we control our dollars within our community, that's going to go a long way. And that's going to create a situation where politicians want to become involved with us. And the good thing about that is, once we do that, we can put ourselves in a position to hold politicians accountable and create a situation where they have to do the things that we want and have to do things that are towards our interest, instead of just focusing on, they'll get our vote today, but they know in 6 months we're going to forget about them because we're gone doing whatever, and they already have their vote, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that, you know, the whole crux of this, when you look at, you know, do black lives really matter? You know, you could go a million ways with it. You could look at policing of communities and things of that nature. And, you know, I think that definitely down the line we'll get heavily into those topics on the show. And, you know, once again, everybody, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to TNJ Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call in, please do so. We would love to hear your thoughts on the topic, 347-324-5360, 347-324-5360. But, you know, one of the things that is not one of the things, but is the key, as you just said, is no doubt the way that Black Lives Matter is through the financial system. It's undeniably, unquestionably, that's the way to go. And the reason that I bring that up is because we both know a lot of college-educated black folks, right, in our demographic. We would be considered, millennials or what have you. And we know a ton of our brothers and sisters that have gone to college. People our age are getting masters at a rate never seen before, master's degrees and things of that nature. But what we wind up doing is, and what really disappoints me, and, I've been trying to figure out a solution to this for the longest, is our talented and our best and brightest, once they get those degrees, once they graduate, they finish up school, and then they go work for white corporations, they go chase the white dollar, and never really commit themselves to giving back to their community. And for those listening that don't know, Jay Wells and I, we are members of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, and a lot of our fellow, and I'll keep it extra funky, our frat brothers and other, you know, fraternities and sororities that pledge to help the community out don't hold on to what they said that they're going to do. So they get an opportunity to get a little bit of that money, and then they take off, and we never hear from them again. And what that does is it cuts off our economic imprint on our own community, because they take those dollars and go to other communities and spend them but never come back. And then it's really disappointing when you see college-educated folks not giving back to the community but acting as though they don't have college degrees and educations and things of that nature, where they'll be on social media sites and things of that nature acting in a way that as if they aren't formally educated and things of that nature, and really not being an asset to the community, which feeds into why our lives don't matter in the eyes of the system. Because we have so many educated folks that if they all work together and we all work together to harness our, not only our buying power, but our brains to focus on our people, then I think that we would be in a much better place. And those systems, like you just talked about, will have to listen to us.
And that goes back to, like you said, so many people from situations similar to ours, they they come from humble beginnings. So as they do become educated, they have this opportunity to get this so-called, like, the golden pot, the pot of gold, if you will, and they have this, it's all about me mentality. They're not focused on growing the community or growing, helping their brothers and sisters. They're more focused on, oh, man, I got a chance to make a little bit of money. I'm going to get this money.
Right.
And because you've been without for so long, it's like you're a starving tiger. You're lying in the jungle. You're starving.
Mm-hmm.
You see these wildebeests, you're going to town. You're going to work. And you want to go ahead and get paid. And that's something that we have to eliminate, the me mentality. We have to turn that into a group way of thinking. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but we really have to humble ourselves and sacrifice. It's like, and again, it's like we all know, between student loans, scholarships, people are drained, and they're so caught up in the whole, I need to focus, I need to make this money. I worked so hard, I want to buy this Corvette. I want to buy this Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
No, man,
mm-hmm.
you don't necessarily need that. You can reinvest that money in other ways. It doesn't cost a lot of money to go mentor. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't cost money to do that. It doesn't cost money to feed a family. There's a ton of different ways for people to give back and assist within the community. But the thing is, the outsiders, they look at that because they look at us like you guys are, yeah, you're riding the Cadillac. But everyone else in your neighborhood is poor. You know, it's like that hood rich mentality is what ends up happening. It comes from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge part of it. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in order for something to matter to other people, it has to matter to you. And the phone number to reach us at right here on TNJ Radio is 347-324-5360, Solution-Based Radio. Call up and, you know, help us out here if you have something to chime in on. And, you know, it's all solution-based. You know, we're talking about issues here and why Black Lives Matter and specifically do they matter in terms of, you know, things that are going on in the media with the killing of our brothers, you know, Eric Garner and Tamir Rice, Mike Brown, and the endless list of our brothers and sisters that have been caught in the crossfires and innocently taken out of the world before they should be. And I was doing a little research, and I saw that since 1999, this is actually pretty startling to me. Since 1999, there has been 76 black men and women killed by the police or killed while they were in police custody. And that really kind of blew me away because although it doesn't seem like a large number in totality, but no other group comes even close to that number in terms of any other racial group comes anywhere close to that. And I want to get back to what I was about to say before that, but I really wanted to share that. But the thing here is the freedom via economic empowerment, like you were saying earlier. And as a fundraiser, I know what it's like to have to believe in something in order to get somebody else to believe in it. If I don't believe in my organization, then there's no way that I can go out and get the next person or a funder or what have you to believe in our organization to the point that they're willing to invest hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars into our mission. And it's the same thing with, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement right now. I'm thinking to myself, we have to come together and believe in ourselves to the point that we force other people to feel that we're important, that we force them, that our passion, our love for each other is so strong that they can feel it, that they can see it, and they respect that. When I go out to give a presentation or something, they know that I care about what I'm doing. It's unquestionable, and that rubs off on them. It becomes contagious, and that's the type of effort and attitude that we have to have for our own lives and for the lives of our brothers and sisters in order for the system to take us serious.
And that's exactly what it is. It's that level of passion that you have to have for your brother, that passion that you have to have for your sister. And you have to have that feeling like, yo, we can't fear each other. And that's the number one thing. When you talk about, you think about it, black people get the opportunity. They move away. They move away from their brothers. They move to the suburbs. So they will be the minority because they're afraid to be around each other. You can't be afraid to live. I've been guilty of it. I've personally had to check myself on that.
Right.
Like, that sounds stupid. Like, you're really going to avoid this neighborhood because you see too many people that look like you? That's dumb. That's just ignorant. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we need to avoid that at all costs. You know, we can't live in a community and feel like, oh, man, I see too many of us. It's like, I always talk about it, like, especially living where I live, you see so many educated brothers and sisters. It's exciting. You know what I mean? And it's exciting. It's thrilling when you see positive brothers and sisters around you. When you see people, they're not necessarily doing what you're doing, but they're doing something positive. And they want to uplift each other, and they want to be around each other. They want to love each other, and we celebrate each other. And that's something that internationally we need to embrace. We need to get away from the fact that you see those dudes, they look kind of sketch. What makes them look sketch? Because he's wearing a hoodie?
Right.
Like, because he's wearing a hoodie, he looks sketchy. I mean, his shoes are a little dirty, but you can't judge him for that.
Right.
We got to get away from that. We have to get away from the fear of each other. And because the thing is, dude, he could have just had a rough day, didn't shave, came to the grocery store. That doesn't make him a bad person. Until we stop fearing each other, everyone else is going to fear us. It's like, it goes back to the narrative, like, everybody's a big black man. That's the first description. Oh, he's a big, you could be 5'7" and a half. An average size non-African American person is going to say, oh, that's a big black guy. You know what I mean? It's like, and like, we're the only people that are big. Like, we're the only people that are tall. You know, it's not a real thing. And that's something culturally that we really need to jump out on. We need to get in front of that and stop the fear of each other. We have to love each other, and we have to make it clear to each other that, hey, it's okay for me to show love to my brother and not demean another brother for it.
You know what's funny about that? It's funny that you mentioned that because the whole crux of this, another kind of unmentioned portion of this is being honest with ourselves. Like, I mean, that was real right there, right? Like, I mean, we all have to be able to admit that we view each other as being sketch and being shady at times. Like, we have these preconceived notions about each other that have been programmed in us because of the systematic white supremacy and brainwashing of our people to make us all think that we're all funky and bad people. And so, you know, I see a brother and be like, ah, man, you know, like, my man kind of shady. But then they see me, you know, and then look at my man, he kind of sketchy. And so it's this dual, it's this dual, we both looking at each other like we both sketchy and neither one of us is. And it's really funny that, you know, that's how it is, but we have to be honest with ourselves and know that that's the case. And if that is the case, then let's address it and let's get it out in the open so that we can move forward. And I just think that's really important. So at this point, you know, we have about 6 minutes left, Wells, and what I really want to do is just focus on solutions, you know, solutions to what we talked about today. You know, we talked about some solutions in there. We talked about a few issues, but, you know, solutions. So I'll give you, you can just have at it and you know, throw a few solutions out there in terms of, you know, Black Lives Matter and what we can do on our end. What solutions can we implement today, in your opinion, that you can go out and do right now to start making this happen, to make Black Lives Matter?
First things first, we have to lose the whole quote-unquote, I don't trust nobody mantra. We have to shake that. That has to go. That has to go out of the window. We have to start policing each other. We have to talk to each other. And you see a brother on the street, again, it's okay to help another brother out. You see your sister struggling, it's okay to take care of your sister, help your sister out. We have to lose that it's me mentality and try to help and genuinely try to help each other. It's okay to show love. And I think we have to embrace our blackness. That's the number one thing. We have to get rid of the self-hate and appreciate who we are. The moment we start focusing on appreciating who we are, embrace your hair, embrace your size, embrace your figure, your hips, your curves, whatever it is, embrace yourself. The moment that we start celebrating and enjoying the things that make us who we are, people will see that confidence. They will see that confidence in us. The number one reason people pick on black people is because of the insecurity. White privilege has made us feel like we're inadequate when we really aren't. I can go on and on about that, but we have to focus on loving each other and loving ourselves. As we do that, as we create more positive images of ourselves, our lives, our confidence within ourselves is going to grow, and that is something that's going to shine. That's going to shine anywhere. But go ahead, Trav.
I would say, and I offer this in the sincerest, from the sincerest place of love, and I can only speak from my own experiences because most of my experiences are with black folks, so I just throw that out there first. But I look at it as making our lives matter starts from within, and not only does it start from within, but it's really along the lines of what you just talked about. And we don't, just so you all know, we don't share what our solutions are beforehand, so I don't know what Wells is going to say and vice versa, but it's what I call the Negro syndrome. And what this is when we first see each other, the first time you see a person or in your family, a friend, it's a negative word. Man, you done got fat. Man, what you got on? It's always something like that. That's how we greet each other. And so something that we can implement to make our lives matter is to treat each other with respect and think consciously when you see your brother, when you see your sister, meaning a family member, friend, whoever, to think positive, to purposefully say something positive instead of saying, man, you look like you done put on a few pounds. What you been eating? offer something like, you look good. You know, you look good, my brother. Nice, you know, nice outfit. Same thing, you know, to our sisters or what have you. Like, we really have to be intentional about lifting each other up and saying positive things because you never know what that person is going through internally. And when you say negative things to people, that could really have a crushing effect on them. So by you calling that person ugly or something like that in a joking manner, that might actually really be something that sticks with them. And so, what I call the Negro syndrome is because I only see it with our people because that's who I'm with the most. You know, that's where I think it should start, you know, that just positivity. When you go to, you know, you haven't seen family all year and it's Thanksgiving, and you walk in the room, say something positive, be positive, and show them that they matter to you, and then they'll start to do the same. That's where it all starts. It starts within us. It starts within our circles, being extremely kind to one another. Wells, I'll give you the last word, man, and then I'll wrap up.
Because I say it all the time, man, positivity is contagious. It is one of those things when it's in your life, it is everywhere in your life. The people that you're around, the people that you speak to, they all feed off of it. That has been one of the, I would say definitely over the last 10 years of my life, that's something that I've lived by, and it has controlled my life, and I've been very fortunate since. Keep the positivity around you, and it keeps good people around you.
Absolutely. Well, once again, everybody, thanks for tuning in this afternoon, or this evening, rather. We really appreciate it. We can't thank you enough for tuning in, and hopefully you enjoy the program. Hopefully you got something out of it, and we hope that you're going to tune in next week. We know that you will, right here on TNJ Radio, Solution Based Radio. Take care. Have a wonderful evening.